Are you glad it's 2023? Has anybody messed up the date yet when you wrote it down? No, 2022. The nice thing, if you write two, just loop it around. That makes the three really easy. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, we thank you today. We thank you and praise you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for putting me on as your microphone, anointing our ears to hear the living word of God. Challenge us, grace us, disciple us through the word of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, I remind you, it's a privilege to be your pastor. And we did love you. You know, if you ever, like even this morning, I always want to be in my seat on time when service starts. But I find myself, you're trying to greet so many people in a short amount of time. And I just find myself shaking hands, hugging necks, and just loving on people. And I lose track of time. Praise God. But many of you got to be greeted today. I got to greet many of you. And that's a joy for me. Amen. This month and beyond, I'm going to be teaching on something that's very near and dear to our hearts. And I want to set this up correctly. And we're going to take our time and build your faith. But I've heard, not just in Cloverdale, but around the United States and throughout the world, people are very concerned with the cost of living. Everybody, I mean, we've watched the cost of living. I don't know if you would say it's doubled, but there are certain elements that have more than doubled. And I saw just yesterday, somebody, and I don't know if this is true. I don't know do the grocery shopping in our home. But I saw somebody saying that the cost of eggs is now over, is it $5? More than $5 a dozen? Okay, let's go Price is Right. Higher or lower? The price of eggs is more than $5 a dozen. How much is a gallon of milk these days? $4. All right, how many of y'all going to be buying yourselves a milk cow and some chickens here this next month? Chickens are the most disgusting animal in the world. Economically, I would have them, but I hate those. The only thing, they're right there with someone, right there with horses for me. Now, all you horse lovers, I love horses. I just don't like taking care of them. Amen. But the price of living has gone up. Gas, diesel, it's incredible. And you're trying to buy a vehicle right now. You know, Hannah had her, she was, my daughter, she was in a place, her vehicle was almost paid off. This was her first car payment, you know, and she was so diligent and, you know, and just pays on early and, you know, every month she's checking the balance to see, you know, is it paid off yet? And I mean, it was just really neat to watch her, you know, emerge into this responsible adult. And right before the car's paid off and it's still got plenty of life left in it, last for another 5 years, 7 years, she gets rear-ended and the car gets totaled. You know, and so we're out looking for a car in this market. And we found out, I mean, it's insane. It is insane. And so we were going to buy something used. And you look, and the used prices are the same, if not more, than new prices. And so I said, well, Hannah, you might as well buy a new car, get a lower interest rate, and you get the warranty, and you know, it just makes sense. So then we start shopping for a new car. You can't find one. And of course, you know, she's, you know, a little hipster girl and wants the same car that everybody else her age wants, so that makes the demand go up. And so finally, we find one coming in. I won't mention any names, but it rhymes with Fandy S'more. I say, yeah, we've got a car coming in to meet your daughter's needs. Okay, great. How much? $5,000 over sticker. oh, really? How about no? Well, someone will pay it. Yeah. Not us. $5,000 over sticker. I mean, there used to be a time you could get it for $5,000 under sticker. And we're watching, and this, and I know this affects every one of us in some way, shape, or form. And so we did not get it from Spandy 4 or whatever you want to call it. And I thought, you know, one of these days I'm just going to mention that politely. If you'll do that to somebody, and you see, the thing is, somebody will pay it, but you know who pays it? The elderly and the poor people. If you don't know, I was in the car business for many years. And the moment when I worked at a traditional dealership, the moment I realized that elderly people and poor people pay more for their cars than their counterparts, that's the moment I walked out of that dealership. That day, I did not give it 2 weeks. I said, I'm done. I will not be a part of this. And I hate it, but somebody will. And usually it's the elderly and it's the poor. That's a shame. And the Bible tells us that in the book of Proverbs that God hates an unjust scale. And if you'll charge a poor person more because they don't have knowledge, that's an unjust scale, you see. Well, so we're in a, and we see the price of everything going up, and we see that there's talk about a recession. You know, he said, well, Pastor Matt, I did not come to church today for you to remind us about the economy, you know. I came to church for the gospel is good news. I came for good news today. I came to get some joy and some peace, and you're just telling, I mean, I want to go out and jump off. I just want to go just, you know, drown myself in vinegar and upside down, you know, in a post hole. But I'm just setting this up. There's going to be good news, trust me. But we have a recession, my accountant told me, she said, we're already in a recession. I was asking her, I said, now, what do you think we're at? What are you seeing when you're doing people's tax returns, that type of thing? She said, oh, we're already in it. That's what she said. Now, that's just one person. And she said, but you know, you're going to start seeing it more, but what I can tell from the numbers, it's already here, and it's going to start having a negative effect on people. And I've talked to others that are verifying that people are now using credit cards for groceries and gas, as in they're maintaining a balance just for the cost of living. Does that make sense? Not everybody, but some people. But as a society, when we stop saving and we start spending on credit card just so we can live, that catches up to us really quick. Does everybody understand that? So, Pastor Matt, why in the world are... You know, we came to church for good news, and you're telling me about the price of eggs and the price of milk, and now I'm mad at you. Okay. Here's what we want to teach on today, and really this month and maybe beyond. I want to teach on God's economic system. I want to teach you how to have faith that God's word, that the promises of God, the provision of God, is not based on the value that man puts on a dozen eggs. The provision of God is not based on how much gas is. You know, if gas is $3.28, $2.88, or $1.30 like it should be, and whether Indiana has a gas tax or suspends a gas tax, whether diesel goes to $6 a gallon, God's word is true. God is who he is. I love one of the greatest things God ever said. He said, I am that I am. And if I am that I am, that means he is that he is. God is who he is, you see. And so that means who he is, he can't help but to be. You with me? And so who is God? Well, one of the ways he revealed himself is, my name is, okay, here's God's name tag. My name is Jehovah, which means I'm the self-existent one. I've been around since before eternity started. I'll be around. I'm from eternity past to eternity future. I don't need anybody's help. I am the self-existent one, and my name is Provider. I provide your needs. I'm Jehovah Jireh. And Jehovah Jireh is not limited by the cost of gasoline. Jehovah Jireh is not limited by what the OPEC decides the price of oil per barrel should be. The provision of God, thank God, that's a big thank God, is not limited by whether we have good people in Congress and leadership or whether we have bad people in Congress and leadership. Amen. That's good news. That is great news today. Hallelujah. I want you to get that in you. I want you to know this beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is who God is, and his nature is love. And his nature is to provide. His nature is to save. His nature is to heal. His nature is to rescue. His nature is to give joy and peace. Now, that doesn't promise you a life without problems. But that promises you victory in your problems. And we sang this song today. You know, all things work together for good. That's the God we serve. Praise God. So I want to take these next few weeks and build your faith for your finances so that if and when we experience a recession like 2008, we could, we may not, I hope not. Or if and when something bad happens to you in 1 week, your water heater goes out and your car breaks down and you lose your job, you recognize that this world system is subject to God's system. And we want to learn how to operate in God's system. So that's what we're about. I want to just throw this out as gently as I can. There are times, and as pastors, we do have to teach on finances from time to time. And I know because there have been abuses in the body of Christ over the years, even when the Bible was written, Paul warned of preachers who preach for personal gain. He warned us of these things. There have been financial scandals, even in Putnam County, even here in Cloverdale, where bad things happened financially. We understand that. And so I know that sometimes when you preach on finances, it can rub some people raw. Does that make sense? And I want to do this in such a very gentle way and loving way, and that you'll be able to say, hey, I can get on board with this. Does that make sense? And I want to build you up. This is never, and I'm smart enough to know. And you notice, we don't take emotionally driven offerings here. We don't do it. I think one of the greatest investments we've made in you is those offering boxes, because I want you to have the freedom to give on your way in or your way out. And I don't want, you know, I watched this happen in some places. It's a culture. And they bring the offer. And I'm not against this. I'm not putting it down. I just see the downside of it is they bring all the offering plates down to the front and people come and give their offering. Well, in some of the nations I preach in, because they're embarrassed that they don't have anything to give, they'll come with an empty hand and put their hand down in the bucket and act like another. You might say, I could say they're giving by faith. They're saying, hey, God, you give it to me, I'll give it. I get it. But at the same time, I don't ever want anybody feeling like, hey, I don't have anything to give, therefore I'm not welcome, I'm a second-class Christian. Amen? And just to remind you, if you don't know the story, look up the history of this church online. There's a history video. look at that, just so you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this pastor and his wife are not in this for the money. We're in this for the people. We're in this for the long haul. We preached to an empty building for a lot of years, and we're not in it for the money. We're in this for souls. Amen. We're in this to build the kingdom. And so I just want you to hear the heart behind that before we jump into it. I want you to know I love you. I'm for you. And I believe that preaching the gospel is not what I can get out of you. It's what I can put into you. Amen. The shepherd loves the sheep. Amen. Now, we're going to teach, even if there's time through this, I may even treat, at some point this year, I want to teach the biblical relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, because I think I'm watching, and I picked up a few people that are starting to see things incorrectly, and thinking, man, the shepherd's supposed to do everything for me. No, I can't do everything for you. I got to feed you. That's my main job. Feed you and protect you. That's my main job. But man, you've been a Christian for 20 years, and you expect me to be bottle feeding you. I can't do that. Amen. I'm not everybody's best friend. Amen. And even Jesus made people mad. I mean, Jesus couldn't, when he was on earth, he could not be everything to everybody. There were times Jesus had to look at somebody and say, no. Okay. But that's not for today. So you hear my heart before we get started. I just want to, and if you're a type of person, and if money in church is really an issue for you, where your blood is already boiling because I've said the word money more than twice, and you have no idea what I'm going to say, but you're mad, and you're already stiffening up, and all those things, I would encourage you, listen with an open heart. I'm not trying to take from you. And if you don't want to give it an offering, don't. Please don't. It's a free will offering. And the Bible tells us not to give begrudgingly. Okay, we don't want you to give begrudgingly. Okay? But as I teach this, my goal is to build your faith and connect you with God's economic system that is not subject to the world's up and downs and the world's cycles. It's not subject to many of the negative things of this world. Let's get into the word. There was a council before creation of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's recorded in Genesis chapter 1. It says, let us make man. And we see from the book of Genesis 1 and 2 and the book of Ephesians that creation was designed intelligently by God. I mean, the Genesis goes through it very quickly, but when you slow down and study it out, God had this amazing plan for humanity. And you see, God is love. And love has to have something to pour itself into. And so because God is love, God made man so he could pour love into man. Isn't that good news? Okay. And so God, as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are at that heavenly board meeting. And I try to imagine this, and I'm sure I'm so far off of what it actually was, but I just try to imagine what that looks like, that council, that meeting, you know, as they're drawing up plans for Earth and for humans and dogs and cats and solar cycles and lunar cycles and motor, no, not motorcycle, but just the way that the tidal tides go and the different species of fish and birds. I mean, this is an amazing planning session. And he said, okay, now, before we put man on the earth, let's make sure that he's taken care of. Ladies, do you remember when you were prego with your first baby? And you do what we call nesting, where you begin. I remember, Andrew, I mean, and it's a wonderful, I don't say it's critically, not even funny. I mean, she just really went into this mode of planning the nursery, you know, and the color choices. I mean, you thought when, and back then we had a Walmart budget paint, okay? You thought when we went to Walmart to get those paint samples, to get those little cards, you thought that that was going to make a difference in whether or not our child, little Zach, was going to go to heaven or hell. I mean, she labored over what color this nursery is going to be. Everybody know what I'm talking about here? She labored, and then what are we going to use? Are we going to use farm animals? Are we going to use sports in the nursery? What is going to be the pictures? What's, and even that little thing that comes up over the crib and spins around, what do they call that thing? A mobile. I mean, your mobile. Are we going to use Disney characters? Are we going to use basketballs and softball? Because these things are going to impact our children for life. And man, every detail. And I remember, and she settled on rabbits with carrots. Yes, it was rabbits and carrots. Like if you could think of Peter Rabbit, if you would. And she went, Andrea was a cross stitcher. And she began to knit her cross stitch, I don't know what you call it, this amazing blanket that would have these depictions of these rabbits and carrots and all these things. And she wanted to say, hey, when my baby gets here, he's going to be well taken care of. Amen. Some people had a baby shower for us and car seat and stroller. And, oh, man, that was awesome. And you know what they did? Everybody did. I think it's such a good idea. Everybody brought a package of diapers. Oh, that was so helpful. We were on youth pastor salary at the time. Man, every diaper mattered. Man, if your kid ever, it didn't happen often, but if you ever didn't change your kid right away, they had two or three accidents in the diaper, it's like, well, that's terrible, but we saved a diaper. And I'm saying all that to say that before God ever brought us to this earth, he prepared it for us. He had a vision, if you would, to make humanity, but he made provision for the vision. And the word pro in the Latin, it means for. So provision is for the vision. God had a vision. God had a vision for the world. God had a vision for humanity. And before he brought humans, he made provision for the vision. And once again, one of the ways God reveals himself to us, there's many names that God uses for himself, but one of the top seven is Jehovah Jireh. I am the Lord who provides for you. You spell Jireh if you want to write this down. J-I-R-E-H, Jireh. And I believe in Hebrew, it's pronounced Yireh, and they roll the R a little bit, Yireh. And I don't think I'm pronouncing it just right, but it's not Jireh like you and I would say, okay? What we want to learn over the next few weeks, what is the will of God for your money? Is money good or evil? How much money should we have? What is the purpose of money? I want to teach you the difference between a financial miracle and a financial harvest. I want to teach you how to get God involved in your money. But today, briefly, we want to look at, we're just going to set it up and then look at, if we have time, what is God's will for your money? The vision that God gave to Adam and Eve. Now, God made Adam and Eve. He said, now, got a couple things for you. Number one, be fruitful and multiply. That is the vision of God. God wants family. Y'all, I mean, we're just coming off the holidays. Isn't it the most wonderful thing in the world when you got all the family there? Now, I realize that there are dynamics of family, and you got one uncle or aunt, or you got crazy people in your family. We have crazy people in our family, and some people say we are the crazy people. You know, if you don't know who the crazy people are in your family, well. But listen, every family, we've got the compliant children. We've got the non-compliant children. We've got the children that are a reason for your praise life. We've got the children that are a reason for your prayer life. Right? But that's family. You know, I didn't get to go to Columbus for very long. I got to go out to Ohio for a half a day. That's all our schedule would allow, just everything going on, and the whole thing with the water sprinkler system, you know, that kind of ruined some of our plans. Some of our younger ministers need to realize that when you're the pastor, you live and die with the church. Amen. I want to encourage you folks. People feel they have the right to say whatever they want to say about the pastor and judge this and judge that. Don't do it. You have no idea what our family goes through. You have no idea. You have no idea what Jeff and Megan go through. You don't know. Amen. And I mean that with love. I mean that with kindness. Amen. And I would say to our, you know, if you're looking to become an up-and-coming junior minister or whatnot, man, you want to become an effective pastor, the shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. Amen. Be careful about criticizing that shepherd. Amen. But listen, the vision, be fruitful and multiply. I got off topic for a second. I'm sorry. Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply. They do good, then they do bad. Then humanity begins after the curse, and the earth begins to fill up, and we fill it with evil. God raises up a flood, Noah. Noah gets off the ark, and the first thing God says to Noah, Noah, be fruitful and multiply. Amen. Then Jesus, when he comes on the scene, Matthew chapter 28, he says, be fruitful and multiply. Amen. I know what I was going to say. I remember now what my point was back then. Sorry, it took me a second. I went out with my mom and my sisters. We're all having just a delayed Christmas dinner. You know, my sisters and I, we all believe in Jesus. We all love Jesus. We're all going to heaven, but we have some different political stances, you know. And when we come to the dinner table, we're all well-versed. And it's fun. And we can have conversations and still love each other at the end of the day. That's a good family. That's a good family. So that's what I was trying to say. Forgive me. So there's a vision. Go out and make disciples. I'm sorry, from Jesus. There was a vision from Noah. Be fruitful, multiply. A vision for Adam and Eve. Be fruitful, multiply. All those visions took provision. Before Adam and Eve, God made provision. Before God had Noah build the ark, or before the flood, God made provision. The provision was an ark. The ark, God make it full of food. And he doesn't have them come off the ark until there's provision and the floodwaters have receded. Then Jesus says, go into all the world, make disciples of every nation. What is that? Be fruitful and multiply. Well, I'm here to tell you, being fruitful and multiplying takes provision. When you had children, how many of y'all know? It took provision. I was talking to somebody the other day. He didn't have kids. He's a business, local businessman, no kids. I said, they're thinking about it. I said, let me help you, just prepare you. I said, I want you to take a bucket, about a one-gallon bucket. I want you to fill it with $20 and $50 bills. Now go flush it down the toilet. Now you're prepared for parenting. Well, step on Legos too. Go walk down a 20-foot hallway and bare feet on Legos. And then you'll be ready for parenting, praise God. But parenting costs money. Taking the gospel to the world, it costs money. So there's got to be provision for the vision. And then that leads us to why take this time in church to study on God's systems. And I thought we're supposed to be preaching Jesus. Well, Jesus preached the kingdom. When Jesus was on earth, as a matter of fact, tonight, guys, the things I feel led we're going to study is we're going to study many of the parables of Jesus. We're going to start off probably in Matthew 25, and there's three parables that Jesus gives in Matthew 25, and then we're going to do Luke 15, three parables of Luke 15, and that's what's going to be our study, men, for this next 3 days. I think it's really going to bless us, okay? But when Jesus was on earth, Jesus taught the kingdom, okay? And the kingdom is God's way of doing things, the dominion of the king. That's the word kingdom. So that is God's way. So when we're preaching the kingdom of God, we're teaching you the nature of God. So we are pointing you to Jesus. We spend a large portion of our life dealing with money. The Bible teaches a lot about money. Jesus dealt with it a lot. There are a lot of people who are struggling with money. They're worrying and stressed out about money. They're in debt. They're working so hard just trying to make ends meet, living paycheck to paycheck and just getting by. Money is one of the top three reasons that marriages break up. One of the biggest limitations to preaching the gospel is money. Wouldn't it be nice to have 150 orphans in that orphanage in Pakistan? But the only thing keeping us from that is money. Jesus is wisdom. And we need wisdom for our finances. So teaching money helps us in, as we're going to be, even this next week, many of you are going to work for 40 or 50 or more hours per week. And you're not doing that for your health. You're doing that for a paycheck. Because we need money. And I want to teach you God's perspective on money so that you're not just going to work for a paycheck that's going to be here and gone, but you understand the eternal principles that revolve around finances, okay? So that is the setup. Let's jump in. Number one, is money good or evil? 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 tells us, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Now, we've seen people have the idea that poverty is a way to please God. Some of God's servants take a vow of poverty. Now, I recognize that God is complex. No one person has God figured out. There's no one person that has perfect doctrine. Does that make sense? You know, and there are going to be times where we might do it one way, another church might do it another way. Neither church is wrong. We're just different in a lot of things, okay? They criticized Jesus, and they criticized John the Baptist. They both did opposite things, and they were criticized equally. John the Baptist, isolated himself. John the Baptist was not a people person. John the Baptist wore clothes that did not fit in with society. John the Baptist lived a very fasted and disciplined life. He was kind of like that prophet that, you know, wearing skin. What, help me. What did he wear? Camel skin. Thank you. And ate locusts and honey. All right. So he's living a tough life. And Jesus, on the other hand, comes in, and Jesus is hanging out with everybody. Jesus is an extrovert. Jesus is at the party at where they're having the wedding. He's at the party. They run out of wine. Jesus, all right, I guess, Mom, if you really want me to. I mean, Jesus was the life of the party. Everywhere you see Jesus, there are people coming. And there are times Jesus didn't have time. He said, well, we'll make time. Jesus was a people person. And he said, hey, you criticize John the Baptist because he was out in the wilderness, and you criticize me because I'm with the people. You see, we got to be careful. And so here we have this thing. Some people have taken the vow of poverty. I'm not saying they're wrong, but I'm definitely saying that's not what God's revealed to me. Does that make sense to everybody? I hate poverty. Little Brian in our Kenya orphanage. He was found, he was about 3.5 years old, they think. I mean, they found him in a dumpster. And he was starving to death. His growth was stunted. And his bones were frail. He was 3.5, not talking. He was in a dumpster. And they found him, and they brought him in. And our orphanage there in Kenya, and we partnered with another church in Bloomington to make this orphanage happen. But Brian received a home, and they took him to the doctor, and they got him treated. And he's starting to grow, and he's talking to people. And now he's going to school. But for poverty, see, there was somebody, a young mother probably, who was unwed, who had no money, no future, no hope because of the terrible economy that's over there. And she didn't know what to do. And out of desperation, leaves her baby in a dumpster. That's what poverty does. That's what poverty does. And I've got a picture of Brian in my office, and he's about this tall now, and talking and smiling, and what a joy. And you know, we can say whatever we want to say, but at the end of the day, someone has to write a check every month for that. So, I hate poverty. Some of, I would just say, I guess there's a difference between money and the love of money. So let's talk about money for a second. Money is simply a piece of paper or a coin, piece of metal, that represents purchasing power. It could be from an item that represents value, such as an oil field or owning of land. It could be some type of commodity. You know, you've got grains or bins full of wheat or bins full of vegetables. Those things represent money. And so I guess my question is then, if money is made out of paper, is paper evil? If money is made out of coin or metal, is metal evil? Is oil evil? The price of oil might be evil, but oil itself is not evil, right? Okay, so money is merely a tool, depending on how you use it. Now, one of my favorite illustrations I like to give is, let's just say we got a couple church members having a little dispute, okay? Now, I'm going to pick on Abigail here. You're just so sweet and lovely. Is that Shelby? I'm Shelby. I'm sorry. You look like your sister more and more. Your sister's looking more and more like you. Shelby. I was wondering, shouldn't Abigail be in youth group? We got Shelby down here. Even better. And, you know, Shelby, whenever she sits, comes to church, she usually sits on that second row. And let's just say that next Sunday, Shelby comes, and Katina is sitting in Shelby's seat. Well, Shelby is ticked. And being the type of girl Shelby is, she goes to her connections in the mob. And she gives them $10,000. And she says, I want you to put a hit on Andy. I want Andy to be sleeping with the fishes. And sometime in the next couple weeks, Andy disappears. We don't know where he was. Never came home. Well, money in that purpose was evil. Because Shelby is using $10,000 to put a hit on Andy for sitting in her seat in church. That's an evil use of money. But at the same time, as we've mentioned a few times, some of the things we can do with money are really good. I mean, this church, we helped a lot of people this past Christmas. We helped people with different things, with food. We helped people with presents. Was money good or evil in those times? It was good. Praise God. Okay? So money is just a tool, depending on what it's used for, is whether money is good or evil. The Bible, now here's where we're getting into the real meat. The Bible promises money and wealth as a reward in this lifetime. So we have Solomon, and we're not going to have time to read this today, but if you want to research, I put the scripture there for you, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. It just talks about how wealthy he was. Solomon was the king of bling. All right? And we don't know how exactly it translates, but we have enough evidence to think, if you account for inflation, that old Solomon was better than Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos. That's bling. The disciples were having a conversation. They were having Bible study one day. And Jesus had just admonished the rich young ruler to sell everything he had and follow him. And the disciples are like, whoa, this is tough. And Jesus said, yeah, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, some people think that means it's impossible. No, it's not impossible. Just a little theology here. The eye of a needle was a Jewish term. And their cities had walls around them. And you had to protect yourself, okay? It was a whole different culture than it is here, okay? And so at night, you would close all the main gates of the city, all right? That way, so that no foreign invader can come and do a surprise attack at night and rush in and take over your city. So they had walls around their city, and at night they would pull up all the big doors. And if you were a traveler or you came in to the city after hours, so to speak, you would have to go through a separate door that was designed to let one person in at a time. That was called the needle. That door was called the needle. And so the way a camel would get in through a needle, when the camels, these are these big packing animals. They're designed to carry all sorts of goods and all sorts of stuff. And the way they would get the camel through the eye of the needle is they would have to unload all the stuff off the camel. The camel has to get on its knees and go on its knees through the eye of the needle, and then they pack it back up on the other side. So some people say, oh, that means it's impossible. That means if I have any money, I'm going to hell. No, that doesn't mean that. How does a rich man get to the kingdom of heaven? Man, we got to get on our knees and get rid of, you know, and not let that stuff burden us down. Yeah. Praise God, that's good news. So, they're having this conversation, and the disciples are saying, well, Jesus, this seems pretty tough. So Jesus, yeah, it is. But they're all talking, said, well, Jesus, we've left everything for you. Jesus, we've been like that camel. We've unloaded ourselves. And here's what Jesus' amazing response is. This is New Testament, by the way. Mark chapter 10, verse 29 and 30. Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there was no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels who shall not receive a hundredfold in eternity. Is that what it says? What's it say? Now. Who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. You see, that's New Testament. That's words of Jesus, words of red in your Bible. Praise God. And people like to say, well, you know, God took everything from Job. Well, first of all, get your theology straight. The devil took everything from Job. God allowed it, but the devil did it. Amen. The devil did it. God allowed it. But remember that song we just sing? God knows all things work together for good. We learned the principle from Job, double for your trouble. When you read the end of Job, you see Job was twice as blessed as he was before. He got it all back. As a matter of fact, Job said a few things, and I just did this study of Job in my personal devotions, and I was asking God, I said, Lord, I don't like the book of Job because it's hard. Has anybody ever read through Job? It's so hard to keep up with all these conversations. I'm like, God, you know what? I'm having my devotions. I just want to get me and you and not have to work so hard. But man, you got to work hard to study Job. And so realize at the end of the book, and this is the key to Job. Many people don't get this. Job says, everything I just said, I was wrong. You know, people like to quote Job and say, well, Job said this, Job said that. Yeah, but at the end of the book, Job said, God rebukes Job. God says, Job, where were you, boy? This is the where were you, boy speech. This is the come to Jesus meeting for Job. Where were you, Mr. Job, when I scooped out the oceans with my hands? Where were you, Job, when I was carving out the creeks and the rivers with my fingers? You don't know nothing, boy. Read it. And Job says, I did not know what I was talking about. We got to read things in context. Now, did Job go through a terrible time? Yes. Are you going to go through some terrible times? Yes. How many in here took in your share of poverty in this life? I have. Man, I've been through poverty. I don't like it. It's kind of like, you know, over COVID. It's like we're starting to see what it's like, what communism is like. I got our free sample. We don't like it. I tasted poverty. I don't want it. I hate it. Hate it, hate it, hate it. I can tell you story after story after story of poverty desecrating people's lives. Poverty does a lot more harm. Now, prosperity can do some harm too. We need balance. Job of the pastor is to bring balance. Even every now and then we bring in an evangelist. An evangelist usually has one or two things they're strong in, right? Tim Grisham, what's he strong in? Evangelism. What's Tim preach every time almost? Evangelism. When I bring in Tim, what's he going to preach? Evangelism. Well, if all we do is evangelize, we don't ever disciple, what are we going to have? We're going to have a bunch of Christians who are young and dumb. Right? So being a Christian is more than just evangelism. Now, we need evangelism. But when you bring in evangelists, they're very anointed for those one or two things, or sometimes three, and that's what they're going to emphasize, but the pastor has to bring balance to it. Amen. And I'll bring in people who believe in prosperity. I believe in prosperity, and they're going to be out there a little bit in prosperity, but it's my job to bring balance to it. Amen. But I've brought in people before who really have a poor mentality. That's okay. That's okay. But I'm going to bring balance to it. We want balance. Okay, moving on. Jesus promises the disciples lands and houses in this life times 100. Deuteronomy 8:18, Old Testament, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Now, if money was evil, why did God give you the power to get it? Now, here's where money becomes evil. Money becomes evil when we use it only for self, for selfish purpose, selfish gain. Here, God tells us the purpose of money right there. He says that he's going to bless us. Why? So we can be a blessing, establish his covenant. You've been blessed to be a blessing. We've not been blessed just so we can be a selfish Christian, just eating all that God gives us. God has called us to be a blessing to the world. The Bible consistently and continually shows God's people being supernaturally prospered and provided for. You know, you go Old Testament, you see in Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, it tells us Abraham was rich. Now, if being rich was a sin, Abraham could not be the father of our faith. Okay. And then you look at somebody who's going through a difficult time, and the Bible's full of examples, New Testament, Old Testament, of people who were in a financial pinch, a financial issue, a provisional need, and so many times God does an amazing miracle to provide for their needs, whether it was feeding Elijah with a raven that brought meat and bread twice a day, or whether it was a poor widow who was about to eat her last meal and die, or another widow who was being evicted and overwhelmed with debt and she was going to have to lose everything. And so many times God shows up to meet people's desperate needs. Why? Because God is a provider. He is who he is. He is Jehovah Jireh. I am the Lord God who provides for you. Most Christians, you see, it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Most Christians I know, 99% or more of the Christians I know, are not dealing so much with the love of money. Now, that might be we're going to get into this a little deeper. Maybe you let the Holy Spirit do in you what he wants to do. But the majority of people I know are struggling with the lack of money. And what the gospel could do if God's people would learn to prosper and to get the wealth promised in Deuteronomy 8 so that we may establish his covenant. What we could do, ladies and gentlemen, with the technology we have, I mean, to these satellites, getting these satellites up in the earth and beaming down the gospel in forbidden nations, you know, we're part of that. You know, we've got King's TV has a satellite now that I'm on. And they're going over Iran and Iraq, and they're going over Afghanistan. We're getting the gospel into Afghanistan now. But man, all that, it takes finances. But what we can do and I know young people, you're not ready for Jesus to come back yet because you want to experience all there is to life. But take it from all of us folks who've had a few more years, it's better if Jesus just comes back. But man, I want to get this gospel preached to all the world so we can just say, out of here. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, as I close today, and I need to be done, we got through point one of three. As I said before, that's why God made eternity. So we'll be able to come back. I made the mistake. I've already studied this out. Anyway, I made the mistake. I didn't print just today's message. I printed off the whole month worth of lessons today. So there's a packet about, you know, this big. And Brian saw it. He says, man, Pastor, how long are you planning on preaching today? I said, oh, I'm just going to preach 4 or 5 pages of that. In closing, and today is just introductory, barely scratching the surface. But I've just found if I don't take my time to set it up correctly, because the devil has used money as a stumbling block for so many people, that we may hurt somebody in the process of trying to help them. Does that make sense? And so I didn't go as far as I wanted to today, but we slowed it way down. Because, and if you're here today, once again, hear my heart. I love you. If talking about money offends you, look, I understand you have a right to be skeptical. I get that. Nobody wants to be taken advantage of. But I want you to hear my heart. And more importantly, as we teach out of the Holy Bible, I want you to hear the very heart of Jesus concerning your finances. And at the end of the day, that's who we want to please. And so if you're here today and you say, man, Pastor, you really hurt me, this was tough, whatever, I really want to encourage you with everything I've got. Man, just deep breaths. And really pray and ask God to help your heart to receive this message. Amen? Amen. We're trying to help you. We got to let you go. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'd like to give you that opportunity. You know, I was thinking this morning in my devotional time about Kobe Bryant. Y'all remember Kobe Bryant? I think they called his nickname was what, the Black Mamba? Fantastic basketball player. Phenomenal. He was one of the few that they had a rule that they allowed kids to go directly from high school to the NBA for a few years. And he went right from high school into the NBA. And his first year in the NBA, played in the All-Star game and was embarrassing some of his competition. Has all the money he needs. He's retired. He was one of the hardest workers ever. I mean, he had a work ethic above work ethic. And I'm not saying I was a big fan. I wasn't. I don't play for the Lakers. Don't like the Lakers. You shouldn't too. But looking back, he was a phenomenal ball player. And he had it made. And he was a good father. And he had kind of some cool perks. I mean, who wouldn't want to have a helicopter at your disposal? Be like, you know, my daughter hit me up all the time. Dad, let's go to Chick-fil-A. We got to go to Chick-fil-A. I don't want to run the playing field. Well, if we had our own helicopter, we could be there in 5 minutes. Be kind of cool. But here he is. I mean, he's the master. And like that, his life is gone. I want to just encourage each and every one of us today, no matter how high you are on the ladder of life, at any given moment, our life could be over. And I want you to know that you know that you're right with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you're here today, you say, Pastor Matt, I want to give my heart to Jesus today. Would you raise your hand right now just so I can see you? Say, hey, today's the day you spoke to me. I need to get right with Jesus today. Is there anybody in here? You say, that's me, Pastor. Can you give me a little lights up in the balcony because I can't see up there? Anybody? Okay, I don't see anybody raising their hands. That's okay. That does tell us, church, one of our next focal points is going to be evangelism. And as soon as we get done preaching this, we're going to preach. We got to get back. We got to remember COVID is over. And we got to start inviting people to church, and it's time to gather and assemble. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Spiritual leadership class, we'll see you at 5:30. Men, we'll see you at 8. Father, we bless these people in spirit and in soul and in body. We ask God that you would, as we're taking on this difficult subject, that you give us great grace to minister and teach your spirit, your word, your way. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. We'll see you later.